Paul Sweeney and Tom Keen here, looking at green on the screen, a better tape than 2 hours ago, certainly, off of some housing data, which we survived. And I think particularly just off the corporate ferment, Paul, that's out there, the Microsoft headlines, yep. You know, they're going to get it done by October something, and Kering and Gucci and somebody's Bluebell's going after that. It's just a little bit of a buzz here to the market. We're going to digress now to the West Coast, the Left Coast. Ian Colgren joins us, Bloomberg News. In Los Angeles, on labor issues and on the strike at hand. Ian, I think so much of this is the wealth, the cohesion of a union. So just as an opening salvo, does SAG-AFTRA and the rest of it, are actors and actresses, can they hold out and strike a long time?
Well, that's really the question with any strike, Tom.
Yeah.
I will say these are people from talking to them on the picket lines. These are not strikes that happen very often. And when you look at especially the writers' strikes, historically they've gone on for a really long time. They've gone on for months at a time instead of weeks or days at a time like strikes in other industries. And these are people who, in a lot of ways, are used to hardship and making things work. It is not an easy business to be in. And to a certain extent, they're used to making sacrifices. And a lot of them, certainly the ones on the picket line, seem to think that it was worth holding out for quite a while.
I'm looking at this. I'm looking at what, you know, like Variety's doing, where they've got, full-time 24/7 coverage and all that. What's the angle of this strike, Ian, that captures your attention?
Well, there are a couple, Tom. Number one, we see a lot of complaints like we've seen in other industries about companies doing well during the pandemic and not sharing the wealth with their workers. That gets more complicated in Hollywood, especially in terms of especially when we're talking about the streaming services, because the streaming services are really quite opaque with their numbers, and it's difficult to tell how much one show in particular is holding up Netflix at any given time, which can make it hard for workers to demand what they deserve when they don't know exactly how well the show is doing and that kind of thing. But I think, frankly, the more fascinating angle here that runs through a lot of these strikes, but is especially prominent in Hollywood, is the AI question about using these actors' likenesses to generate AI products in the future. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, and this is a very real thing. This is not a theoretical issue that's going to be coming on the horizon. It's happening now.
Yep.
If you've watched any of the new Star Wars series on Disney Plus, there's one where Darth Vader's voice is an AI generated voice based on James Earl Jones' actual voice that he did in the movies. In that case, he gave them permission to do it. But the question is, what happens when actors don't give permission?
Yep. So, Ian, I mean, one could argue these strikes from the writers and the actors could not have occurred at a worse time, simply because the industry is in this unbelievable turmoil as it tries to transition from the tried and true model, which is you make money off your cable networks and your broadcast networks from cable subscriber fees, to now one that's based on streaming. And quite frankly, they don't know the economics of that business long term. So how do the company, what are the companies saying about, you know, what their strategy is here? Because the reality is they don't know. Nobody really knows how AI will impact the business, how streaming transition will impact the business long term.
Right. Well, at this point, you know, it's hard to say whether the companies exactly know what their long-term strategy is. If you look at a lot of how these streaming services are operating, Netflix is a great example. You see it kind of, you know, floundering around trying to make itself more profitable by shutting out, you know, folks piggybacking on other people's accounts and sort of, you know, continually jacking up rates and that kind of thing. But in terms of the AI, some of this technology is here, some of it is not here. And from the company's perspective, understandably, they want to leave as much room as possible to do what they want or need to do in the future. And they're playing ball somewhat with the actors. I'm told by folks at SAG-AFTRA who have been at the bargaining table, but they still want a pretty broad policy that the actors actors aren't okay with.
Are the different parties on the owner's side, you know, the Sarnoffs and whatever, Paramount, you know, I'm thinking the old names, are they organized? Are like they all on the same page as Netflix, on the same page as Amazon?
Well, you know, the structure of labor and unions in Hollywood is quite different than most other industries, because Hollywood is essentially a gig industry, right? It's always been that way. You get a movie, you get a TV show, then you try to get a movie, you get another TV show.
Yeah.
Basically, the way that you have to do this, if you're an actor, is act on a SAG-AFTRA product when you're not, you know, if you're not in the union, you're just starting out, then you'll be brought into the union. So the short answer to your question is yes, because they're all sort of dealing with the same master agreement from SAG, and they're all, although the legacy companies are different from Netflix in a lot of ways, like increasingly the model is moving towards streaming anyway. So if you're looking at the long-term future, it's not that different.
Okay. Ian, thank you so much for the update. Somehow I think there'll be more updates. Egan Colgrid in Los Angeles reporting for Bloomberg on this strike.